words of wisdom. Our culture is obsessed with wisdom literature. Did you know that? I mean, walk into the bookstore, and one of the biggest sections of the bookstore is the self-help section, right? This is wisdom literature. We've got 5 easy steps to anything you want, to lose weight, to have a better love life, to get a promotion, to have inner peace, whatever it is, we've got 5 easy steps for it. This is all wisdom literature. And, you know, we listen to Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz. These are wisdom gurus, right? Now, oftentimes wisdom comes to us in these little pithy sayings that we call proverbs. We share them with each other at the beginning. Sometimes wisdom comes to us in riddles. Like, you know, when Samson had the riddle of the honey and all that. Well, I went to one of our great sources of wisdom in our culture, the internet, to find some proverbs and riddles to help us in life. And I'd like to share some of them with you. Here's the first one. Don't sweat the petty stuff, and don't pet the sweaty stuff. I mean, that's pretty good. That's good wisdom right there. Words to live by. Okay. Here's another one I thought was really interesting. Men are from earth. Women are from earth. Deal with it. Okay? That's a good one. Okay. Now this one is really interesting. You can give a man a fish and feed him for a day. Or you can teach a man to fish and he'll sit in a boat and drink beer all day. It's kind of a Minnesota proverb, right? Of words that many of you live by. Okay. Now sometimes I said there's riddles that really make you ponder the deeper things of life. Here's one. If all the world's a stage, then where is the audience sitting? Think about that. Some of you are like, what? Okay. Here's one. It's a little more practical. If you eat pasta and antipasta, are you still hungry? Think about it. Okay. One last one. If you try to fail and succeed, which have you done? Really? Right? Okay. I know. These have been deep moments with Pastor Steve. Let us pray. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. We're starting this series on wisdom and wisdom literature. You know, as most of you know, this whole year we've switched and we've moved to the narrative lectionary, which has been wonderful. From September through Pentecost, you know, the end of May, we walked through the Bible chronologically, telling the story of the Bible. Well, the narrative lectionary takes the summertime and it looks at pieces of scripture that don't tell the story, aren't part of the storyline, but are obviously very important. And so, you know, we just finished the 5-week series on the Lord's Prayer, which was really a great time for me anyway. Well, today we begin our next little mini series for 5 weeks on wisdom, the wisdom literature. And so I'd like you to take out your Bible. And if you didn't bring your Bible, grab that pew Bible in front of you. And the first thing I want to do is I just want to frame the bigger picture of what is wisdom literature. And so I want you to turn to the very beginning, like 3 or 4 pages into this thing called the index. All right? There is an index in the Bible that has a list of all the books in the Bible. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that there's columns under this heading called Old Testament. It's the Hebrew scripture. In the middle column and the bottom, there are 5 books. Who can shout out the first book of wisdom literature? Job. Very good. So let's say the 5 books of wisdom literature out loud together. Here we go. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. It's also known as Song of Songs. Okay, so those are the 5 books that we call the books of wisdom. They're written in poetry form. Now, these 5 books fit into 3 categories of wisdom. The first category is what I call generalized optimistic truisms, or GOT. Right? You got wisdom? All right, here we go. This is the book of Proverbs. These are those pithy little sayings that are true 90% of the time. Right? This is the practical wisdom that works most of the time. This is the kind of stuff that we shared. Does somebody want to share like one of their real gems that you shared in the connecting question? Shout out your proverb, your nugget of wisdom. Jason, you had a good one. What was it? Shout it out.
Each day is a series of little adventures.
Each day is a series of little adventures. Bam! See, that's like a little nugget, it's a little wisdom. You live by that, right? Anybody else have a great one? All right, well, let's move on. I had one that one was about relationships where it's when you're looking, when you're trying to find your spouse, don't look for the right person. Be the right person, right? I mean, this like, bam, it's just like this little nugget of wisdom. That's what Proverbs is, all of these little nuggets. And it's the kind of wisdom that parents pass on to their children optimistically, hoping that they have a good life. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, and it's all of these little nuggets of wisdom that he learned from his father, King David, and he's trying to pass it on. It's like a treasure chest of precious gems and nuggets of wisdom. Okay, so that's the first category. But we're going to spend 3 weeks in Proverbs today and the next 2 weeks. But then the last 2 weeks, we're going to switch to the second category of wisdom literature. And I call this world-weary realism from wise old sages, right? This is the book of Job and the book of Ecclesiastes. Notice there's two of them and only one of the first kind. The book of Job talks about suffering. And the book of Ecclesiastes is full of realism, where this wise old teacher looks at life and he says, sometimes bad people get away with it. And there's no justice, right? Sometimes good people die young. Right? No explanation. Sometimes natural disasters wipe out towns. And the book of Ecclesiastes boldly and in a raw way deals with these 10% parts of life where wisdom just doesn't pan out. And asks the question, where is God in the midst of that? So it's going to be a good series, right? 3 in Proverbs, 2 in Ecclesiastes. But there's a third kind of wisdom, and I call it almost wisdom, but definitely poetry. Okay, so that's the book of Psalms and the book of Song of Solomon. The book of Psalms has some wisdom in it, but all of it is poetry. It's the hymn book of Israel. And the book of Song of Solomon is actually an erotic love poem between a bride and groom on their wedding night. Pastor Mark, I'm thinking we should do a series on that in the summer. Attendance would go way up, right? Okay. So, but we're not going to do that, so here we go. So, today we begin looking at Proverbs specifically. And as we do, I just want to ask two simple questions. The first one is, what is wisdom? And the second question is, how do we get wisdom? So the first question is really answered in verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles out still, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. These verses tell us the purpose for the book of Proverbs. And the purpose is simply to help people gain wisdom. So what is it? So let's walk through these first couple of verses. It says, for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. Now, one thing you have to understand when you're reading books of wisdom, they're written in Hebrew poetry. And Hebrew poetry likes to repeat itself. It's called parallelism. And so they'll make a statement, and then it'll repeat the statement, either in the same idea repeated or in a contrasting idea. But that's how Hebrew poetry is structured. It's these little couplets of parallelism. Okay, so this one is a repeated complementary statement. So he says, for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. I want to look at that word learning. It's an interesting word because the Hebrew word is yada, which is also translated to know. To know about wisdom. Now, in our culture, when we think about knowing something, we think about acquiring information about something, and then we know it. But in the Hebrew culture, to know something is much different. The Bible talks about how a husband knows his wife, and they have a child. To know something is about intimate knowledge of something. So to know wisdom is to make it part of your life, to make it part of who and how you are. Okay, so that's what learning wisdom is all about. And then it goes on to say, for gaining instruction in four things: in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice, and in equity. See, it's about learning how things ought to be and learning how to live correctly. Here's an important thing to remember. In Scripture, wisdom means skill. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. When I was growing up, my dad is good at many things, and one of the things he's really good at is building things. You know, he's in construction and he builds beautiful things. For some reason, I never learned that from him. It's like, I don't know if I was just not paying attention or if it was some kind of passive-aggressive teenage rebellion or something, but I moved out of that house not knowing those things, and then I went on to marry the daughter of a general contractor who did learn those things from her father. And so when we were a young married couple, I went out to do my first building project.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need some new bookshelves for my home office. You know, we've got some spare wood laying around. I'm an artist. I create things, right? So I go out there, and I'm like, I'm just eyeballing with a skill saw. Wah, man, that looks pretty good. I slap these kind of wood together and screw them together. And I set it up, and my wife comes out, and she's like, oh, honey, oh. That. And I'm pretty sure that as soon as she walked out, it just went, poof. So let's just say I was less than wise when it comes to building things. But then my company hired my father-in-law, her dad, to come out and build some things for our business. And I worked with him. And I watched him, this man who was wise in construction. And he actually measured things. And they were square. And they held up under weight. It was amazing. And as I watched him, I grew in wisdom. See? That's exactly what wisdom means, is the ability to do something well. Skill. Wisdom is incredibly practical. It's about learning the skills of how to live life well. So the question is, and the deeper question is, how do we get wisdom? Well, verse 7 gives us the answer. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is like the thesis statement for the whole book of Proverbs. It contrasts two kinds of people: the wise person who fears the Lord and the fool who despises instruction. Let's start with the fool. The fool, it's interesting, the Hebrew word translated fool is ev'il. Have you heard that word before? It is the word that influenced our English word evil. See, in Proverbs, evil is anything that goes against the ways and instructions of God. A fool is a person who knows the ways of God and chooses not to do them, thinking that he or she is wiser than God. That's a fool. And the purpose of Proverbs is to not be a fool. So how do you not be a fool? It says it begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord. Are we supposed to be afraid of God? What is this all about? Well, I think the best way for us to understand the fear of the Lord is to think about parenting. All right? Now, I've raised 4 children. And if you've raised children, then hopefully this will connect to you. But the goal of parenting is not just to make sure your children live to 18. Okay, that's not the goal of parenting. The goal of parenting is that you will eventually one day be a friend of your child. Right? Like today, as a 44-year-old man, I can say that I am a friend with my parents. But it didn't start that way.
See, a parent-child relationship is not a relationship of equals. It is not a relationship of friends. See, when a parent looks at that precious little child and has said, you can't have the cookie till after dinner, and she reaches across to grab the cookie, the parent says, no. In that moment, what should the child do? The child should stop and obey the parent. But what if the parent says, if the child just goes ahead and grabs the cookie, and the parent says, oh, isn't she cute? She's just expressing herself, you know, and she's just being a child. That child becomes wise in her own eyes. And then tomorrow, when she's running toward the street and the car is coming and the parent says, stop! And the child has been trained to not obey, what happens? Foolishness can be life and death. You see, a parent loves that child. Parenting of a small child is equal parts love and discipline. Because to parent a small child requires a certain level of fear and respect of the parent out of love and safety for the child, right? That's parenting 101. As the child grows and learns right from wrong on their own, they grow in wisdom until eventually that same child can sit down and be a friend with the parent. And it's beautiful and right. Now let's think about our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is a lot like that. The goal of God for us is friendship. It truly is. We see that through Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. It truly is unity and friendship with God. But it doesn't begin there. See, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. There has to come a time in our life when we stop and we say, God is God, and I am not. I do not possess wisdom. When I'm left to myself, I usually make bad choices that are self-destructive. I am not self-sufficient. I need God. I need God's grace for salvation. I need God's creative power for life itself. And when we come to that point and say, I need God, I am humble and rely completely on God, that is the fear of the Lord. And that is the beginning of wisdom. Only then can we actually listen to God and grow in wisdom. And it's a process. I mean, we go forward and backwards as we grow, but ultimately we come to maturity where we have a friendship with God. So do you get that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, Jesus gave us a beautiful picture of this in the gospel that we read. The wise person, he said, is like a person who hears my words and acts on them. Right? Not just knows about them, but actually does them. That person is like one who builds their house on a rock. And when the storms of life come, which they will, they can stand strong. But the fool is the person who hears Jesus' words and does not act. That person is like one who builds a house on sand. And when the storms of life come, it just washes them away. God wants us to be wise because God loves us. So I have a simple wisdom challenge for us. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. The month of July starts tomorrow, and it has 31 days. You see the connection? See how that's working? Right? So I challenge you with a proverb. A proverb a day keeps the fool in us away. What would happen if we just committed to read one chapter of Proverbs every day this month and see if maybe we're ready to listen to the wisdom of God to learn how to live a godly life? Let's stand together and pray.
Well, Father, you are our parent, our father, our mother, who loves us desperately. You love us so much that you have given us instruction. Please give us the humility to listen, that we can grow in wisdom, to know what is right and what is healthy and flows from your love. We thank you so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.